2. There may be an explosion. Heads turned and conversation stopped when the youngest member of the New York State Assembly arrived to take his seat on April 18, 1882. He looked like the parody of a Victorian dandy. Hair curled and parted in the middle, mutton chop sideburns, a thin mustache, and a monocle in one eye with a gold chain looped over his ear. His formal morning coat, which swept down almost to his shoes, opened to reveal skin-tight bell-bottom trousers. In one hand he carried a gold-tipped cane, in the other a silk top hat. "Who's the dude?" one bemused assemblyman asked another. "That's Theodore Roosevelt of New York," came the reply. For a time, Roosevelt remained an object of curiosity and ridicule in Albany. Colleagues called him Young Squirt, Weakling, Jane Dandy, and Punkin' Lily. A newspaper wondered if he was one of those men given to sucking the knob of an ivory cane. Roosevelt soon modified his dress and manner, but he turned out to have an even more remarkable quality. He was constantly and irrepressibly in motion, a hyperactive, frenetic bundle of energy. In the assembly, he ricocheted from one cause to another. He demanded civil service reform, warred on the liquor industry, and fought increases in the minimum wage. A fellow assemblyman called him a brilliant madman. He had not yet, however, discovered the vehicle he would ride to power. It appeared before him a couple of years later in the figure of Henry Cabot Lodge, a gaunt, imperious Bostonian he vaguely remembered from the Porcellian Club at Harvard. In 1884, the two young men, Roosevelt was 25, Lodge 34, were delegates to the Republican National Convention in Chicago. They took an instant liking to each other. Lodge sensed that Roosevelt would become a national figure of real importance. Here was born the partnership that a decade and a half later would push America toward empire. Roosevelt entered politics, as many do, to see how far he could rise. Lodge was just as ambitious, but